You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.
Talk about father in a moment, but let's say she comes down, she's got a bit of a cold, nose is running. Is it off to grab some Calpol and perhaps nip down to the doctor, or is it the traditional healing side of it? Where's the middle ground with the family?
My daughter is sick. I'll give her a panado, bro. Like.
Hooray!
My guest on the Dan Nichols Show is somebody who lit up the TV version on a number of occasions. He's best known as a comedian, and a comedian I have a lot of time for because naturally he's a very, very funny man. He is also, though, both a traditional healer and the single worst synchronized swimmer I have ever seen. KG Mohadi, welcome!
Hey, Dan Nichols, thank you for having me, bruh.
I always feel a little bit of guilt whenever we meet up because I adore you and I adore your comedy, and we've worked together a number of times over the years. But I do recall that I almost killed you at one point on the Dan Nichols Show, although my guilt is mitigated by the fact that having invited you to be part of the Dan Nichols Show synchronized swimming team, it was only when you arrived at the swimming pool you decided it would be a good time to tell me that you couldn't actually swim.
It's one of those. First of all, I'm going to start with saying every time I see your name on my phone, I get a little scared.
Excellent. It's kind of how I feel when I see my wife's name on my phone. Like, what have I done wrong
I'm
this
like,
time?
What are we doing now? It's because I thought it was going to be fun. Right, that wasn't actually the. Was it the first time we dealt with swimming when we did synchronized swimming?
It was indeed, and it was fun if you had a very dark sense of humor.
Yeah, I thought, you know what, that's gonna look really, really good for TV. Like it was amazing TV.
It was terrific TV. It worked out really well. It was you, me, and Tank Lanning, the former prop forward. So it was three gentlemen of a certain proportion. But there was a moment where you started getting under the water, and you're a big lad, and it was slightly unnerving as we tried to rescue you from the floor of the swimming pool.
It wasn't the first time something like that had happened. I wasn't as scared as you guys. Like I just kept thinking to myself, yo, just stand, you know, like just stand, but...
I was trying to rescue you while stay calm because your gorgeous little daughter, who's now probably like 26 and finished university, but she was at the side and she was looking on slightly nervously, and I'm with one hand trying to pull you out from under the water and the other go, it's okay, my darling. Daddy's fine. Don't worry.
It was a whole mess, man. It was a whole mess, but it's one of those where I go, this is going to be amazing TV, and I will do it for that because I expect that it's going to look great. You know what I mean? And that also, I just want to say that wasn't even the scariest thing that we've ever done. That
we went ice skating with Joanne Strauss.
I don't even want to look at an ice rink.
That was Joanne Strauss, who's not a nice person, being even more devious than usual, because she assured me she'd never been ice skating before.
And
you and I had never been. You and I looked like a pair of beached whales trying to get off the ice, and she just glided across for hours on end.
Horrible. Yeah, but the swimming is one thing, but...
ice skating.
I don't even want to look at an ice rink. That's where I am. That was also beautiful TV, and that's why I did it.
It was terrific TV, and it was also, I'd imagine, something that immediately, even as you're not enjoying it and cursing my name and summoning the ancestors to do horrible things to me, probably saying to yourself, this is going to be great material on stage if I survive.
You know what? I haven't even used it as a thing. That's how terrifying
it's
it
was. Too painful.
I haven't even gotten over it. The thing about me and stand-up is that I need time to get over the thing, and then I can speak about it.
And it's only been 8
Dude,
years.
I am really scared of an ice rink. Like, I don't know how people... Funny, I took my daughter to a roller skating thing. And as I was sitting there, I was thinking about that ice rink thing. And I was like, I'm not joining them.
See, I had this vision of you and I in matching sequined outfits, being this gloriously choreographed pair floating across the ice. And that's not what we looked like when we got there.
I had the same image too. I had like a classical music vibe. You had like a pretty and a vibe in the background. Da 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 da. And then we're floating, man. Yeah, man.
Oh,
it was bad.
It did make for terrific TV, yes, and it yes. made for a lot of inadvertent yes. comedy. And that's where we first met, through the medium of comedy. And I remember distinctly, there are a number of comedians who have a particular line that I will always remember them for. Yeah. And with you, it was an event we did together. We were out at Arabella Hotel, yes. out not far from Cape Town, and here was this comedian who I'd never met before. I'd heard one or two good things, but I'd never seen you. Yeah. I was quite excited to watch you, because people whose opinion I respect said, no, this guy's got something, and I was really excited. And you delivered a line that I think speaks a lot to the kind of comedy you do, yep. where you said, with that little smile of yours, where I know you're going to say something that you enjoy, even if nobody else does, and you said to the audience, and I'm paraphrasing here, but yeah. it was basically that if you were a black South African and your parents didn't have a tender, they'd clearly not done enough during the struggle. And it was one of those where especially the black members of the audience laughed, but not as much as they might have, because it kind of straddles that line that so much great comedy does.
You know... It was a thing I came up with my best friend giving some money. And, you know, when things happen inside of... When people... I suppose this is what I like to do. When people go one direction with their comedy, I like to find a different one. I think what happens is generally that thing of going, I don't want to sound like other people. And there are things that will be said that are topical, where you go, a lot of other people are going to talk about this thing. Where is the difference for me? And the difference for me was that the people who are actually very corrupt are people who have done amazing things for this country. And I'm looking at my old man and I'm saying, but Chief, what have you done? Why don't you have access? You have no one's number. You you have no connections. You know, what's going on with
where
this?
Where are the family tenders?
You know, where are the family tenders? You're not making sense, right? Oh, man. It's funny. My dad really, really enjoyed that bit, man. Like, I think when I was saying it for the first time in front of my dad, I was so scared. Like, it's like, how is this man going to take it? And I think it's today it's still like one of his favorite bits. You know, like, he still does that thing of like, yo, do that joke about.
It's an interesting aspect of comedy, and I think some comedians handle it a little more easily than others. Who is in my audience and do I have to adjust therein? As not so much, is there a big critic? Is there a great agent in the room? But more, hang on, is my grandmother in the room? And if so, will I say the stuff I otherwise might?
I suppose. I'm lucky to live in Cape Town with a family in Pretoria, so I don't worry much
helpful.
About, you know. I worry about the missus, though. I think she censored a lot of, you know, like this stuff, because it is personal, you know what I mean? Like, when I speak about, like, and I'm scared because I live with her, you know, I'm scared that we're going to have to do these discussions, post to the stage. You're like, yo, this is the bacon. This is, I'm bringing the bacon home. She hates that version of the bacon. It's a, you know what I mean? Yeah, outside of that, I really don't worry much, man. I think I generally write for the majority of English speaking South African comedy audience. You know what I mean? I think the way I write, there's something for everyone.
And I love that about you, because I've shared a stage with you on a number of occasions
yeah.
where the audience has been incredibly diverse. And I watch the audience often rather than the comedian.
Yeah.
And I see how people are responding. There are obviously one or two people who are just staring blankly because they're soulless, heartless accountants who hate comedy. By and large, it will be people of all sorts of colour and size and shape and age who are laughing just as much at each other. And the ability to hit those different spaces, I think, makes you a wonderfully embracing South African comedian.
I think that's the gig, right? For me, like, the gig is to go, there's a story that we are not, there's a thing that we are not discussing as a group, and I feel I can discuss it as a group for us. I think that's the thing that I enjoy the most with my writing. I'm also very lazy. I don't want to have jokes for this room, jokes for that room. These are the jokes.
They cover everybody.
These are the jokes, you know, and I suppose I'll have like a political set. Those are the considerations that I'll make. This is not a very political audience. This is, but generally South Africans are very political. You know, this is the room where I can do, I don't know, relationships with a little sex or relationship without. You know what I mean? Those are the small little considerations because audiences are different. But I don't like to work really, really hard. I've just told myself that from there to the UK, to the Netherlands, the audiences are the same, man. They just want to hear my story, and this is my story. Have you genuinely found that?
Because you have now done work in different parts of the world. Yeah. And if you listen to a lot of South African comedians, this is not a criticism, it's an understanding of where we are. Yes. So much of our material links directly into who we are, where we are, that the rest of the world sometimes doesn't always understand, because we are an absolute basket case of a country in so many ways. How do you take that and translate it into a stage in Amsterdam, into a stage in London?
I have found personally, Uthi, people are interested in hearing what other Africans think. In the continent, people are interested in hearing what do you think as a South African, right? So the way I do it is go, this is where I'm from, and these are the stories of where I'm from, and then I'll carry them on that journey, right? But it does not mean that when I'm in Europe, I don't speak about load shedding. I speak about it. It's power blackouts. And then I explain it to them. And it's weird for them because what are you talking about? Power? Do you know what I mean? But I carry those things. I carry the ideas of like, this is why we are neutral in the war against Ukraine. This is the vibe. You know what I mean? This is material that translates just fine because they are also talking about it, right?
But so you take the same material, give it a bit of context, and you're good to go.
Yes, but I'm telling it from an African's point of view. I'm saying this is where the African governments are sitting outside of Kenya, and this is our reasoning for it, you know. The majority of, when you hang around with Africans, the one thing that we have in common is that there's power blackouts in every... That's my... From here to Senegal to, you understand, to Egypt, there's power blackouts, you know. So it's not difficult to take that and go, I'm here as an African who's based at the southern tip of the thing, and this is what we're dealing with. That's all, man. Like, and it works. It works. Race relationships are the same. You know, race relationships are the same between here and Dar es Salaam and wherever. It's the same. I have a bit where I go, it's nice to hang out with white people until one of them loses their phone. And when they go, hey, man, I lost my phone, black people immediately start wondering, did I steal a phone? It's a thing. You'll be surprised. The black people of the Netherlands feel the same way. The black people of the UK and America feel the same way. So it's not a... these are not crazy South African ideas. These are political consciousness ideas.
But the world's a lot smaller than we sometimes think it is.
Way smaller, man. Relationships are relationships. I go, I want to take my wife on a dirty weekend. Every man in the world wants to take their wife on a dirty weekend. And I explain what it's supposed to look like. Every man in the world understands what it's supposed to look like. And I can marry that thing to what white privilege looks like, even if you're with your wife on a dirty weekend and it's just the two of you and it clicks, it makes sense. And somebody in Europe understands it the way somebody in Africa understands it. And again, I'm lazy. When I write these jokes, I go, how do I write this in such a way that everybody understands? And maybe to finish this, the reason for that is, I'm present to this, the reason for that is many years ago when I started a group of, they call themselves Malaysian Chinese people, arrived in the Purple Turtle. And in the majority, like, it was like 40 people. And we just knew, and I watched every comic just suffer. Just suffer. They couldn't just translate these ideas to Malaysian Chinese people. And I went, I want to write in such a way when somebody says I'm Malaysian Chinese. I don't have to worry about what am I gonna. So that's I remember distinctly watching comics go, what are these people doing here?
One day you will headline the biggest comedy club in Jakarta and you will kill them. You know what I
mean? Yeah, that's what's up.
I'm still thinking about your idea of the weekend. I've been trying one of those weekends with my wife for a while. She's been quite busy for the last 6 years, but I'm hoping that she'll find some time at some point. You've done really well in comedy, and that's absolutely no surprise, but possibly made slightly easier by the lack of pressure, because it was really only your second choice career.
Yeah.
Because you had lined up, ready to go. And I think this stems from your dad as well, if I'm not mistaken. You are a qualified traditional healer?
No, I'm not. My dad is.
Your dad
is. I'm just his son.
But did you not do a little bit of work in the family business, kind of learning how it all...
No, I can read bones. You know, I can read bones. I know what, which herbs do what generally. But I haven't gotten the calling. And I think I've gotten the calling of comedy, and I hope they leave me there. You know, I hope. I hope they go. This dude's healing is in that space, and that's what it is. But he loves doing it. I love seeing him do it. He's in his element, you know, and this is crazy. My dad's a former journalist and easily one of the best writers. Like, I love reading my dad's work. I just enjoy how he writes stuff, how he approaches writing, and how he explains.
Are these his prescriptions, or does he write beyond that?
No, my dad wrote for a couple of papers and that sort of thing. But from time to time, he'll sit down and just write stuff, like proper just sit down and just type stuff for typing stuff, or just write poetry for writing poetry. You know what I mean? He'll read something. It's so crazy. This man will read a thing and then laugh, put a book down and do like a crazy, like, whoa! And then just put the thing down, walk around and grab a cigarette, and he'll go, hey man, what's going on? And then he'll go, yo, that, I've just, like, that is beautifully written. And then pick it up and read the thing for you. And you get what he's getting, and he explains the beauty of how it's written. So, and he does the same thing. It's the thing that I try and do as well when I write, where he goes, where are we? What are we smelling? What are we looking at? What are we hearing? What are we touching? You must engage the senses. That's him, right?
What was it that took him away from journalism and into traditional healing?
He got old and he accepted the calling of being a traditional healer. That's all it is. That's, you know, yeah, that's man, I've seen people and communications officers call my old man, go, yo, please write us this, please, and he go, but I'll go, yo, are you in front of a PC or a laptop, and he's sleeping, and he goes, okay, I'm going to start talking, and he will do that in his sleep, and it's gorgeous. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen people inside the communications department of some premier. I'm not going to mention, call the old man to go, yo, just please, just, you know, I've heard my dad go, I heard my daughter shout at a journalist, go, what did you, I heard nothing. That's also a story.
I think we've discovered where the writing comes from for you, because
yours is a different type. Yeah, I hope so. Like, I've heard my dad tell a journalist, I will write you under the table. I don't know what that means, but it's so good. I will write you under the table. I was like, this man. And he will. He's a gorgeous writer, and I like about that. I like that. Like, it's one of my favorite things.
I'm from a family of writers, so when we are done, I shall request you send me some of your dad's stuff.
Oh, that's dope.
He sounds like a terrific writer. Yeah. I am fascinated by the intersection of where traditional healing and what we might call Western medicine, for want of a better term, comes about. For instance, your family, let's say your daughter, who's delightful, and I love the way she always looks at you because she just adores you. And we'll talk about father in a moment. But let's say she comes down, she's got a bit of a cold, nose is running. Is it off to grab some Calpol and perhaps nip down to the doctor, or is it the traditional healing side of it? Where's the middle ground with the family?
My daughter is sick. I'll give her a Panado, bro. Like, you know, like I'll have a Panado there. I'll mix like a ginger with the rooibos. Or do you know what I mean? Like, there's that. But remember, like, traditional healing is more for us.
Spiritual
realm where other people go to church, tinasia pal. You know what I mean? We offer libation, that sort of thing. So it's wide. It's the custom falls inside of things like Thanksgiving and that sort of thing. We gotta cleanse. There's been a funeral. We gotta cleanse. Do you know what I mean? It's those things. It's not an issue of I'm sick and then I'm going to take herbs. Even though there's herbs like that at my house, I'm suppose westernized that way. It's their fault for taking me to a model school. I live far. But yeah, I understand what herbs do. I understand, like, at the beginning of the year, I'll have a herbal bath because that's what I do at the beginning of the year, in terms of, like, I'm cleansing for the new year, or I'm bathing myself in happy herbs, you know, that's that sort of thing. So it's a very, for us, it's a more spiritual thing than anything. And the truth is, even before I give my daughter a Panado, I'll most likely wait a bit and see if the thing runs out of her system or not. You know, like,
my system of my kids is to check, you're not feeling well. Right, have they done their homework? Have they got a test coming up at school?
But that's what it is, right? that's what it is. Well, it's one of those things, like, your dog, what are we dealing with? Oh, we're dealing with a running nose. Okay, but why do we have a running nose? Oh, it's hay fever. Oh, okay. All right. Like, you know what I mean? Oh, vitamin C vibes. Like, you're not taking, that's why this nose is running, or you've been eating too much dirt. And that's what my dad also does. When my dad gets sick, he'll be like, yo, you're eating too much dirt. We need to start the fast, or we need to, you know what I mean? Like, it's those things. It's really not a, there are herbs, my man, that boost your immune systems, like moringas and what have you. These are traditional African herbs. They've always been at my house. We didn't know that. We didn't know that these are herbs you find at Dischem. You know what I mean? And this is the crazy thing. The crazy thing is that you go to Dischem and you see overpriced herbs that are at my house. The moringas are at my house, dog. What is lingana in English? I forgot that freaking. But it's there. That's what they take when they've got a cold. It's there. So herbs. It's herbs. It's plants.
You must aloe vera, have a dog. Pharmacy. So
yeah, there's aloe vera vibes where you go in and you see like aloe veras and extracts and what have you, and you go, this cock is at my house. Dried lemon leaves. Umuthi lezinto. That's basically what it is, dog.
Like, I've got something very similar at my house, stuff that is, I think, very natural, but we call them Chenin Blanc, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Merlot.
Yeah.
That's my selection of...
Gombo tea. Yeah, one, like... I've got those two at my house, and I like them a lot.
I have more of an understanding, you might imagine, of that broader space, because my sister-in-law, who's wonderful, is a healer. She does sound therapy and bars and clearings, and
yes.
Specifically it's different, but in the broader space, I think it speaks to a very similar philosophy and a very similar approach, and quite a natural one.
Dude, it's exactly the same. I've gone to see like a palm reader or a spiritual, you know, like a white person. Thank you, Nick Rabinowitz. tell me you're friends with Nick Rabinowitz without telling me. it's the exact same thing. It really is, you know. It's the things that people do when things are not going well in their lives. Sometimes they go, they get holy water. You know what I mean? They get holy water. It's the same thing. The Sangomas have got water too. It really is the same thing. Or you pray for it, we partner for it. It really is the same thing. The Muslims have got to clean themselves before they do specific functions. And we do this. Dude, all of it is the same.
The world is a very small place.
All of it is the same. It's that. It's only that people who don't practice think it's weird. But even people who don't practice other things. I know people who practice only African traditional sort of systems and spirituality, and when they look at like normal Christianity and blah, they think it's the craziest thing in the whole world. They're like, this does not make sense. So it's that thing of like generally people, yeah, generally people are scared of things that they don't know, and maybe let me not get too deep.
It's part of that broader conversation that runs back to what you do with your comedy, where you often get people laughing but also thinking a bit. And it's something I admire greatly about you and the way you do it. And the other thing I love about you, and I genuinely do, is I think just about every time we've done something together, other than a corporate event, we've shared a stage, your daughter's come along with you. And I mentioned her a little earlier, but from when she was this tiny little thing glued to your leg to as she's grown up into this young woman, what hasn't changed is the way she looks at you. And you've just got such a beautiful father-daughter relationship, which having a daughter myself, my daughter's impossible and very, very impolite to her father, but we adore each other, and it's such a special relationship.
I'm very intentional about it, my man. I've got two daughters now, and it's the same with both of them. I'm very intentional about having my family around me. Like, I think it's the source, right? It's where I get the juice from. That's the secret sauce. It's difficult to be bad at a thing when your kid is watching you, right? Outside of the thing that it you know, the normal stuff, which it grows a relationship, you have an actual relationship. And I think maybe it's because growing up I did not have a relationship. In Setswana there's a thing which banaba bonwa about riwi. Like, I think, like, I'm gonna butch up the translation, but you see the kids, you don't hear them. Like, the kids are for seeing them but not hearing them. They must shut up.
Seen and not heard.
Seen not heard, right? And I think I grew up in that space, you know. Even growing up, I always thought, that's weird. Why do you guys want me to shut up? Like, I want to talk, you know? And when I had a kid, I was like, I want this kid to talk, but I also don't want, you know, my mother's the type of person that will go, what do you want? When you're sick, we've got medical aid. When you're hungry, there's food. I took you to school. I took you to church. What more do you want from me? And I get that. Like, she's from a different school. That's that school of parenting, you know. And my mother gets a call from the school. It's like, what did we do? What did he do? Let me kick his ass quick. I thought, Uguti, I wanted to do a little more with my kids. I wanted us to hang out. I'm still her dad. We're not mates, but we have a really dope relationship, and I'm so happy about it, my man. Like, yeah. You know, I was doing the Fini Festival for like 3 weeks. My daughter was there every single night. And we're hanging out. It's a thing. I'm going to roll with my kid. What do you mean? So family is important. When I'm in Joburg, I go to every gig with my sister. So the chances are that you're going to see me with a family member. I work with family. You know, like my sister made this. And these pants.
By this, because you're listening and not watching, this is a magnificent sprawling coat. That looks, it looks like maybe Burberry had collaborated.
You know what I mean?
It's got really nice touch to it.
And that's for me the vibe. I work with my family on everything. My little brother went, your social media is terrible, like 2004. Let me help you out. I want you to do A, B, C, D, F, G and send me the videos every single day until you get it right. And it's grown. And that's what I like. It's like my family is my resource and I'm going to use them first. You know what I mean? Like, my favorite thing is to be with my family.
And I think, again, that's where we have a really strong connection, because whether it's my kids coming to see stuff that I do, or my own family, mostly in Northern Ireland, but my wife's family, who I'm very close to, they'll come to the things that we do. We go out together, and it's quite cool, especially with my kids. I think I've seen this with your daughter as well. I come off stage, and they get that, hey, that was my dad. He was being cool.
Yeah,
and that's,
man,
such an awesome feeling.
That's such a dope thing. I remember many years ago coming off stage, and I have just murdered, and there's a standing ovation, and my kid out of the blue runs onto stage and she's jumping like, you murdered. And I'm like, I don't even know if you understand what has just happened.
But she's picking up on the energy.
Dude, I pick her up and you know, I pick her up and she's like, right, her mother's right next to the right next to the mic, and she goes, knock knock. I mean, she's like four or something. And they're like, who is it? And then he goes, comedian. Comedian who? And he goes, comedian KG. I put it down and she drops one of the finest curtsies I've ever seen in my life. I didn't even know you do curtsies, my dude. You know what I mean? It's really like a... I'm in a really good space when I'm with my family. That's the most important thing type of vibe.
And this will continue until she comes home one day and says, "Daddy, I've met this wonderful guy, and he's a comedian."
You know, such a weird space when, like, when she was 5 and 6, and she was like, "I don't like boys." I was like, "Cool." And then, you know, they start growing up a little bit. And they're like, I like boys. And you're like, yeah, you're too young. Eh? And then when they grown and they start talking about boys, ha, 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 ha.
It's not so much fun anymore.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send you the details because my daughter turned 10 last week.
Yeah.
And next year she goes to a convent in Alaska.
Oh, nice.
Until she's 35.
Ah, beautiful.
And then we'll start thinking about the way forward. She actually, one of my favorite moments, and I know you're going to enjoy this because it's very similar. I think Erin must have been about 4.
Yeah.
And she came home from play school. Looked me very sternly in the eye. This was clearly a serious matter that was about to be discussed with her father. "Daddy, I'm going to get married." Now, on the outside, I'm smiling and calm. On the inside, I'm thinking, whose little body do I have to bury? Which little boy has had the temerity to make romantic advances on my daughter? And I'm going to storm the play school and sort this out. And she looks at me and her eyes soften and she says, "I'm getting married with Daddy."
Oh, I know those.
It was 95% the most beautiful moment. 5%, we do live in driving distance of the East Rand. It was just one of those moments, and it will change, and but it's all just part of that journey of fatherhood, and it's a beautiful one.
You know, my man, and what happens is that it moves away from that level of cuteness to a different one where they just come through and they just, you know, they just lie on you.
Yeah.
Just to feel safe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then after they've been lying to you for a while, or like, actually my back hurts. That's why I came to hang out here. And you're like, "Oh, yeah, you know, I'm one of the dudes." Like, it's her birthday next week, and she's asked me to bake a cake. And it's going to be the ugliest cake ever.
But it will be made with love.
It's going to be made with love, you know what I mean? Like, I just, hey, man, I love hanging out with my kids. It's really, and she introduces me to new music. You know, she's introduced me to anime, you know, and we hang out. We watch anime now, and it's fun. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and sometimes she says the wrongest things. We went to a school interview because she's going to high school next year. And it was such a dope interview. She was handling it, right? One of the questions they asked her was, "What is it do you want to change about, or do you want addressed in the code of conduct?" And don't say it's perfect. Everybody has got a problem with the rules. And my daughter goes full racial. And I get scared, but she goes, "No, like, you know, black hair, white hair is different, but, you know, like, the rules on black hair have got to be relaxed, you know, because this is what natural hair looks like." A very mature answer. And everybody, even the interviewer, goes, "Yeah, man, like, I can't argue with this." And then she goes, "What? So what do you want to do when you finish with school?" She goes, "No, I'd like to do art, and if that fails, I want to make cocktails." I was like, hey, "Hey, we're doing well, man." "What do you mean?" "What do you mean?" She goes like, "No, I mix cocktails." I'm like, hey, what do you mean you mix cocktails? We live in the same house. You've never mixed me a cocktail. like, no. I mean, when I mix different cool drinks. Oh, my God. Oh, no, you have just given one of the most beautiful Prof Lumumba answers. You know, Thomas Sankara is happy with you right now. What are you doing with cocktails?
Can we relax the rules on hand? Oh, can we have discounted margaritas on Fridays at the tuck shop? I tell you what, that says one thing above all. She is your daughter, and that is wonderful. Like it's normally when we come to the end of these conversations where I throw out, you know, what's still to come, what do you still want to do? And professionally, I'm sure there are many things on that list. But I'm not sure any of that would contribute to me in a year, 2 years, 5 years' time sitting across from you and seeing somebody any more content than you clearly are at the moment.
I think I am. I'm very content because the reason for it is that I came into this business without knowing that you could have a career, right? I came into it because it was a hobby. Everything that has happened to me has been because I just enjoy what I really do. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean I don't have plans or I don't look to the future or I don't go, this is the goal. But everything has just jump right in front of me type of thing, and that's the thing that makes me content. Like I've been lucky, and again, like sometimes we complain a lot, but to do stand up is a privilege. It's such a hey man, look at me. I'm in the morning. I've just had delicious breakfast in the hotel. I'm chit chatting here. I'm gonna go home and decide whether I'm picking up my three-year-old or not. This is, I'm raising my family. I'm with my wife, and I earn really good money doing that, right? Like I'm a relevant comedian. I live well, you know. I'm not bowling. I'm not saying I'm bowling. Let's not misunderstand each other.
You did pull up an Italian sports car and get out in a velvet jacket with six butlers carrying your attaché case upstairs.
Exactly. You know, the kids, they go to nice schools. Yeah, I'm eating. You know, like it's those things where I go, I'll travel the world, I'll write things, I'm busy with the script, I'm launching a new show, I'm enjoying the continent. The continent is my favorite thing in the whole world. Like South Sudan, you know, you do a gig in South Sudan and there's a war going on. Like you are in the green zone of South Sudan, and then they go, "Don't go over there; it's the red zone." And the next thing, you're at the red zone, and it's nice, Mama. And then the people of the UN are going, "We gotta. The curfew is 6 o'clock." We gotta leave. And then the locals are going, "We are the locals, yes. Do you understand? We are the locals here. You are safe and you believe it. And really, you are safe." You know, Tanzania, it's my favorite place to be. Kenya's. These are the things that I like to do. Man, tell jokes into a room full of Kenyans is crazy. It's the most fun thing. It's the most fun audience outside of the nice people at Narcotics Anonymous. That's Narcotics Anonymous is my favorite gig in the whole world. But so I'll travel more in the continent and see other countries that I haven't been. I haven't been to and do shows there, like full shows. So I'm starting one-man shows this year in the continent, which is going to be really dope. I feel like there's a space for... There's a huge space for established South African comics to start intentionally working in the continent because the continent is working on itself. But those are the things that happened to me. You know, I did not seek them. I just went out and became really good at what I did. And then it just, life happens, you know. And I like that. I really do. It puts me in a very good space, and there's no pressure, and also there's no, I don't feel like I'm in competition with other comics. You know what I mean? So I'm not in a position where you'll hear me talk nonsense about other comics, because they're doing them and I'm doing me, and it's all good. Collaboration is always important. I like those things, and I think this attitude puts me in a really dope space where I'm even very ignorant talking about, what is depression? What do you guys mean anxiety? I don't know these things. You know what I mean?
And this from someone who's done a gig in the red zone of South Sudan.
You know what I mean?
As part of his gig list. Look, I think we're going to have you back again soon. Maybe we do a special edition of the show from some corner of Africa that you're starting to call home. Because there's a lot of Con and I want to explore as well.
Stuart Taylor says, which war-torn country are you from?
I go back to the line that I remember you for so well, that you're if you haven't got a tender, then clearly what were your parents doing? I'm not sure that your kids will have a tender per se, but they are coming to this world with an extraordinary legacy behind them, because you are both a very successful comedian, but you're also a wonderful dad, and I think is the shining quality, and it's the one I love most about you.
Respect. Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
I shall go and seek out some Kevlar, have a couple of cocktails from your daughter, and prepare to take on the most dangerous part of Africa. Thanks, KG.
Thanks, my dog. Oh, hey.
You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.